names this afternoon, so we will make sure we get you out of here in a timely manner. So thank you much.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the invitation to come and share a little bit of information with you about the drought conditions here in the state of Iowa. I'd also like to share with you a little bit about what we've been doing from Iowa State University to try to be responsive to our citizens. And then I also have a couple of recommendations as we head into the next year. Our estimation is that if conditions continue as we're expecting them to, there will be some issues that will go beyond what Extension and Outreach can respond to that we'd like you to consider as you think about the future. One of the things that I was talking about earlier is that unlike something like a hurricane or the floods that we're used to in the state of Iowa, or sometimes if you have tornadoes or even some fires sweep through a community, a drought is a really different kind of disaster in that I think of it as a super slow motion disaster. It happens over a really long period of time. Other news starts to take the headlines and get on, you know, the evening news and things like that, and people start to forget about the drought really quickly. The other thing that happens is if you get one good rain, like we had the other night with the thunder and lightning and everything, then very quickly people assume, oh, you know, the drought must be over now, it must be solved. What even adds more to that is when you hit harvest season and then we're not in the midst of a growing season, people begin to assume that the drought is no longer an issue, again, because they're not looking at it as they drive around our state. But the drought doesn't go away that easily or that quickly. And so, as I mentioned, it's this super slow motion. It just keeps happening. This last summer, as we began to identify some of the drought conditions going on across the state, those of us in Extension and Outreach, through our network of 100 county offices, we're aware there's 99, but we do have 100 Extension districts, we mobilized our field agronomists, our livestock specialists, and our hotlines. We have several hotlines that I'll give you some information about so that we could respond to issues locally. As more and more Iowans were impacted by the drought this last summer, we expanded our response. We held over 78 drought response meetings this past summer. We have a Dealing with Drought webpage that the URL for that is on the handout that's in front of you, and you can visit that. There's a tremendous amount of resources on that webpage. And we also held webinars and recorded them so that they could be available online. And in fact, many people have come and viewed them after the initial webinar and continue to view them. They've been viewed well over 2,000 times at this point. Those webinars cover topics ranging from horticulture, crops and livestock, grain quality and related issues, swine producer concerns, and we have posted 18 sets of Q&As that range from well water quality to some of those other topics that I've just listed there. Those are all available 24/7 on demand to anybody who wants to utilize them. We also held 63 farmland leasing meetings throughout the state. With the impact of the drought and many people then renegotiating their leases, that also became an issue. And all in all, this last fall, we had more than 6,000 Iowans participate in our meetings, coming and speaking with our specialists and experts about crop, livestock, and horticulture issues. We also had quite a response for in the area of beef. Obviously, our livestock producers are being hit harder than some of the others, and so we tested over 750 samples of corn stalks, the green chopped corn and silage for the crop producers, trying to reduce the potential for cattle death due to nitrate toxicity, and so that was a big demand this past fall. We've also prepared and reviewed publications, fact sheets, and materials on topics ranging everywhere from herd and animal health, grazing, pastures and forages, aflatoxin, crop insurance and managing that, water conservation, and farm and family financial management, all representing topics that we began to receive concerns about and inquiries about. I'd like to emphasize that, as always, all of our publications and information are free online and free in our county offices across the state, all available to the citizens of Iowa. Just recently, we added to our drought webpage and with topics having to do with drought-affected private water supply wells, We are working also with the hygienic lab down in Iowa City. A number of residents are starting to become concerned about the quality of their well water. This will address issues of well monitoring, water supply options, emergency water hauling and storage as well. We also, as part of Extension and Outreach, have CIRIS, which is our Center for Industrial Research and Service, which works with manufacturers and industry across the state. They've been working to determine water rationing policies, particularly as we go into this next year, and the potential impacts on those small manufacturers in particular, to provide general guides and helping to plan and prepare so that they can help those manufacturers to protect their operations from water shortages, which we anticipate in this coming year. CIRIS has also worked with ISU economists to develop a white paper on the economic impact of the drought as it relates to manufacturing, and that's been shared with a number of our partners. I mentioned a little bit ago about our hotlines. We have several. We have the Families Answer Line, the Iowa Concern Hotline, and Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension Hotlines. They've all been responding to calls and emails on drought-related issues, and they will continue to do so. Some of the questions that we've had there's a lot of residents in urban areas that are calling about tree and lawn questions. We've had financial concerns for families, concerns about working with lenders and good policy for that, concerns related to water, especially for private wells, preserving foods, and then there have been a number, particularly in rural areas, concerned about septic issues in their septic tanks and things like that. As we look ahead, one of the things that we're concerned about is historically, when you have drought years with the magnitude of 2012, you're not going to be able to recover through the normal annual precipitation in a single year. Elwin Taylor, who is our extension climatologist, has said that this is a deep drought, and it's most like the drought of the mid-1950s. If we look at what happened in those droughts, those three previous deep droughts took 3 years for us to recover, because a typical drought ends when the subsoil moisture recharges. You normally need about 10 inches of precipitation to make this happen. And I was saying earlier, every time I've come to talk about the drought, we've always had rain or precipitation right before I come, so it sometimes makes it harder. So maybe I should just come down more often and we can get rid of this. I'm not sure. What we do know, though, is in 2012, crops took the bulk of the available water from our soil. So realistically, we need, over the course of this winter, 16 to 18 inches of moisture to recharge, to be able to get back into the subsoil, not just on top of it. And normally, between October and April, in Iowa, on average, we only receive about 12 inches. So even if we have an average year of precipitation, it's not going to be enough for us to fully recharge. Obviously, to address that, we're working with producers to do things like plant the cover crops like rye. Not only does that help give them some feed sources to get through the winter, but it also helps to trap the snow with the hope then that as it melts and the ground comes out of its frozen state, we can capture some of that moisture and get it back into the ground. If you're wondering how things are doing across the state, we know that there is exceptional drought along the northwest border of our state. There is extreme drought in the northwest to north central part of our state, severe or moderate throughout the rest of our state. And that's having checked just in as of January 24th. Obviously, we've had a little bit more precipitation in this last little bit. With the ground in its current state, though, we may not be able to fully realize the benefit of that. With regard to agriculture needs, our extension livestock specialists, as you can imagine, have been incredibly busy. This drought, this first year of it, has really hit the livestock producers the hardest. Our beef field specialists, as I mentioned, are continuing to do testing of feed sources. They are also launching cattle producer programs focusing on the water and feed issues for long-term outlook. Many of our producers were already feeding their winter hay and winter feed back last September, so there's clearly implications when that happens. We've been working with swine producers on ownership transition issues, and there have been a number of fact sheets that have been developed to save feed and other efficiencies and to become more streamlined in making sure we're meeting the exact nutrient needs of the livestock. All of those are available on that website that you have in front of you. We also have a partnership with the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation. We launched this. There will be 14 locations doing webinars, all focused on the managing through stress. And then in the afternoons, we have specialty areas focused just on specific production areas. Farmers will be able to hear from the leading experts in our state, get a weather outlook, get some financial strategies, as well as get some information about managing stress. As we head into spring and summer, our faculty and specialists are already planning additional webinars that will be tailored to the particular time of year and issues that we think will be coming up then. We've also just placed additional weather stations throughout the state, primarily at our Iowa State University research farms and also some private locations. Not only are we monitoring the above ground weather at those locations, but we have automated soil moisture readings that will be able to be monitored very closely throughout the year. So as we look at that, some of the things we're anticipating as we go into this next year is that most of our producers were resilient enough to be able to handle 1 year of drought. But as we start to look at what we're anticipating will be a second year, obviously there's going to be some significant issues. Besides the income loss for farmers that most of us can readily identify, we also anticipate that there will be a decrease in crop quality, what crop we do get, and insect and disease susceptibility, and we anticipate that there will be an increase in wildlife damage to crops, obviously as wildlife is looking for more food as well. There will be increased cost tied to new and supplemental water resource development, reduced productivity of pastures, as we saw last year, reduced milk production, increased transportation costs, particularly tied to feed, and we also anticipate there will be increased livestock mortality. So obviously, another tough year likely for our livestock producers. When you add to that, that our vet med folks are telling us that they also anticipate disruption of reproduction cycles for some of our livestock and increased predation, the likelihood that our livestock producers are going to have another tough year, I think you can see that that's probably likely. When you look then across more broadly at our consumers in the state of Iowa, we do anticipate that they'll start to see an increase in price on a variety of consumer goods that are tied to agriculture. We also anticipate this year we're already working with a number of community leaders because we think the wells and rural water systems will probably run dangerously low in some parts of the state, and we want to make sure that they have good plans in place for how to handle that. Many of our homeowners this year will likely start to see tree disease and death among some of their particularly younger trees, and there are some species of trees that we anticipate will be more vulnerable as we go into that. So that will certainly impact homeowners even in urban areas. The other thing that's easy to forget about is also our tourism industry may have some impact as well. We anticipate that there can be additional loss of fish and other aquatic organisms in our rivers, ponds, and lakes. We saw a little bit of that last year in September, and we anticipate that there will be more of that as we go into this next year. As I've said when I've talked about these things before, I always feel like I'm sort of reading off a laundry list of really things that nobody wants to have happen, but it is some of the realities of a drought. And finally, one of the things that we're hearing a lot in the southern part of the state, probably because of the soil type there, is the impact on homeowners, not just with their wells, but the potential cracking of foundations and separation from the surrounding soil is starting to become an issue in some of the counties down there. So we have some concerns about that. Really, as we think about what this all means for us, the problem with a super slow motion disaster like this is that you really can't accurately project what the actual economic impacts will be while you're in the midst of it. And the thing about a drought is sometimes it's really hard to figure out when did we first get into it and when are we getting out of it. Like I said, a lot of times you get a hard rain and a lot of people think it's over. We don't really yet know what the full magnitude of this drought will be, and it will be easy for it to slip off the headlines. As we try to assess the different agricultural losses, I want to make sure that we also think about our small municipalities, our manufacturers, our tourism and recreation, as well as our families all across the state, because all of them will be impacted as well. One of the things that many of our specialists in our College of Human Sciences are looking at right now is there's ample evidence from other regions where they've had drought that has lasted more than a year of the toll that it can take with regard to mental health. And so we're also looking at trying to provide some information and support in that area as well to help families to cope with the stress. I said I had a few recommendations for you as well. With the continued drought, plans will need to be finalized to assist decision makers regarding water usage. How will some of that happen? Will watersheds be used to separate and specify the recommended actions? The monitoring is in place, but what will be the response triggers? As I said, it's easy for us to have one rain and then assume that the drought is over. So what are the conditions that we're going to use to make sure that we keep paying attention and keep making sure that our policy and planning is keeping up with it? Some of the areas that we're really looking at and have recommendations around is to ensure the availability of data needed to assess the water resources and support drought monitoring. I think one of the best things we can do from Iowa State University and Extension and Outreach is to make sure that whether you're a local decision maker or a state decision maker like all of you, you have the data you need to make good decisions when it comes to the water usage and the water resources. And so we'll be attempting to make sure you have that. We also need to hear from you what kind of data you need that perhaps you have not had available. There's also an area for planning to provide direction and leadership to move the state toward becoming more efficient in the use of the state's water resources. We already have our learning farms working with our youth programs on water conservation and a public awareness program that provides the public with basic information about water and the importance of using water efficiently in their homes. But I think there will probably need to be more of a public awareness campaign so more of our citizens understand the potential impacts of a second year of drought in our state. We also need to make sure that we continue to evaluate our state's drought vulnerabilities and identify actions that could reduce the impacts from future droughts. And that's certainly something our researchers are taking a look at and we'll have more information about as we go through this year. For those of us who work with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach, we'll continue to monitor the drought. We'll continue to be responsive to the citizens of our state and offer programs across all of our priority areas. You heard me mention many of them today, from our support to manufacturers, to our 4-H program, to health and community development, and our agriculture and natural resources. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support of our efforts, and I'm happy to take any questions that you might have. I also have here, I brought cards with our hotline numbers, so if you'd like information about those hotlines that I mentioned, you can have that as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the presentation. I do have one question to start. Looking back or thinking back on 2012, as far as the drought is concerned, because of the loss of hay or corn, I know at least in my area, Northwest Iowa area, there were a lot of producers that actually did not have the feed to provide it to their stock. So they either eliminated or reduced their herds.
Yes.
Was that something that happened statewide? And do you know what the impact of that would that was as far as the
It was not statewide. Okay. In the Northwest really was hit the hardest with this drought, and we have seen the reduction in herd size, particularly in the Northwest, a bit in the Southwest. But in other parts of the state, they have been resilient through this year. We do anticipate that there's going to be quite a bit more of that, though, as we head into this next year if we keep up with these drought conditions. That will be significant in terms of then not having the herd sizes that we currently have, which has long-term implications for our abilities around beef production, certainly. That's also been the case with the swine production.
Mm-hmm. Chair recognizes Representative Heaton.
A question, you can tell me, you told us how much water you need for the top layer. Mm-hmm. Has anybody been measuring the aquifers and found out how far down the aquifers have depleted?
We can get you that information, but we would need to know specifically which aquifers you want to look at, because the variability in the aquifers all across the state of Iowa is quite different depending on where you're looking at. But we do, there is monitoring of some of the aquifers going on, so that information is available.
But a lot of water systems for communities do wells that go to the aquifers for their water. I know southeastern Iowa, we go to the Jordan for our water. The only reason I'm bringing it up is my city engineer who handles the water for our community told me that the aquifer was down 7 feet. That's a lot of water.
Yes, that is a lot of water.
And if it keeps going down, we're gonna have some big time problems. So,
yes. Yeah, and that, I would say all of the aquifers, it's pretty consistent that they're down. Not all of them would be down that same amount. Some of them, the aquifers, the situation's worse, particularly in the western part of the state. So we do have that information, but as I said, the variability is such that it's hard to give just one uniform answer for other than that, yes, they're all down.
I guess what I'm going, looking at then is the impact of our ethanol plants on the aquifer, because they do use a tremendous amount of water.
Chair recognizes Representative Beringer.
Thank you for coming and presenting it to us today. Yes. As a former regional extension director,
yes,
I appreciate you being here. You mentioned that you're checking with silage products for nitrates. Has there been any indication of problem with aflatoxin in corn due to light test weights across the state, and is that something you're monitoring as well?
We expected that would be a bigger issue actually this last fall. We think some of the conditions where we had right around in the August September timeframe seemed to make a difference. It was not as significant a problem as we thought, but yes, the testing has been going on and monitoring for that, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
I do have a follow-up, and I want to make sure I get this right. If we have an average rainfall for the next, it'd take 3 years of average rainfall to replenish some of the topsoil moisture?
No, not quite. Okay. What I'm saying is that while it takes the amount that I said to recharge, it's not that it takes 3 years worth of rainfall. It's that when you go into one of these drought cycles that look like this one, what our climatologist is telling us is that it typically takes us 3 years to come out of it. So it's not necessarily 3 years worth of rainfall, it's that this type of weather cycle tends to run its course in 3 years' time.
Chair recognizes Representative Lofgren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. How much do you think the state gross domestic product could be affected by the drought? I mean, I don't know if you've quantified this at all.
I'm sure that it would be terrific if I could do that. But as I mentioned, when you're in the midst of a drought, it's really difficult to do that. I mean, and I wouldn't even attempt it because we just really don't know yet. This next year, I think, will be very telling in terms of how resilient our producers can be with these challenges. Now, what helps is that we know. We're anticipating this. We're already having these planning meetings. We're already trying to create plans and options. So that will help some, but there will be an impact, and at this point, we just can't determine.
With ag 25% of our economy, related to our economy, I'm sure it's just we're trying to kind of figure out how much the effect would be, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, you know, as an appropriation committee, you may think it's a little bit unusual to have somebody talk about the drought situation, but you know, thinking back of December 12th when the Revenue Estimating Conference established their numbers, they talked about a lot of uncertainties, and one of the uncertainties was because of the drought. It will definitely have an impact on our economy for a period of time. We don't know how long that will be, but I think we just need to be cautious and plan accordingly. So that's, and thank you very much for your work on that. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Seeing none, Representative Fisher moves we arise.